Hey there, podcast fam. Welcome to another episode of An Hour of Your Life. I'm Kim, and I'm here with my co-host, Steve. How's it going, Steve?
Hi, Kim. Doing great. Excited for today's chat.
Well, let's kick things off with some life updates. What's new with you?
Well, you know, the usual. Work, trying out new recipes, make a disaster in the kitchen last night. How about you?
Same here. Juggling work and trying not to burn the midnight oil, but hey, it's all part of the hustle.
Speaking of the hustle, have you seen the latest news? Some interesting stuff going on in the world.
Absolutely. I came across this intriguing article about solar energy. Listen to this. Key features of EcoSun include an advanced photovoltaic cell design, which captures a broader spectrum of sunlight, and a streamlined manufacturing process that significantly reduces production costs. This breakthrough could potentially make solar energy more affordable for consumers and businesses alike. The innovative solar panels also boast a longer lifespan and increased durability, addressing concerns about the environmental impact of manufacturing and disposing of solar panel components. EcoSun's design incorporates recyclable materials, aligning with the growing demand for sustainable practices in the renewable energy industry. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's fascinating. I think that sounds really promising. Definitely something to keep an eye on for the future.
Well, let's dive a bit deeper into a topic that's been on my mind, New Year's resolutions. How do you navigate those decisions to change in your life? What's one thing that you really want to achieve?
I'm thinking of trying something different this year. Instead of big resolutions, I'm focusing on small, achievable goals, like read one book a month or learn a new recipe each week.
Well, that's a good take. For me, I think I want to maybe spend more quality time with family. With everything going on, I've realized how important that is.
That's a great one. It's little things that often make the biggest difference. Here's to a year of achievable goals and positive changes. Time for a fun segment. Any recent movies, books, or music that you're obsessed with?
Totally hooked on the book Whispers of Eternity. What about you?
Been watching the Kaleidoscope Chronicles. Can't get enough of it.
We asked our listeners for questions, and we got some interesting ones. Here's one. What's the most challenging aspect of your day-to-day life?
Great question. For me, it's undoubtedly finding a delicate balance between work and personal commitments, juggling professional responsibilities with family and friends, and personal pursuits can be demanding. The constant challenges lies in ensuring that neither sphere dominates the other, striving for excellence in my career while maintaining meaningful connections and personal well-being. It requires meticulous planning, effective time management, and occasional sacrifices. But the pursuit of this equilibrium is an ongoing and rewarding journey.
And I'd say the most important aspect of my daily life is cultivating meaningful connections with the people around me. Whether it's family, friends, colleagues, fostering positive relationships brings joy, support, and a sense of fulfillment. Sharing experiences, offering support, and creating lasting memories contribute immensely to my overall well-being. Additionally, staying true to my personal values and dedicating time to self-care are integral. Striking a balance between personal relationships, self-growth, and well-being creates a fulfilling and purposeful daily life. It's all about finding that balance.
Time flies when you're having fun. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Just a big shout out to our listeners. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, life has two sides. Take it all in stride.
Couldn't have said it better. Until next time, folks.
Oh my God, that sucks so bad.
That was painful.
I tried so hard not to laugh. And
painful.
You seriously, okay, you can stop them. Stop it. Stop.
I can't stop it. It's going to play off. No. Well, wait a minute.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
There, I can fade it out.
Woo. So
that was painful.
If you are like, if this is your first time tuning into An Hour of Your Life, hi, my name's Kim. For real. Like, actually, that is my name.
And my name is Steve.
Like, for real, that's his name. But that is not, like, not our content. Like, that,
no, absolutely
that's
not
how we do things around here.
I tried to use my best AI voice.
You did. You sounded terrible. You sounded completely fake, which is exactly what I told you not to do, but whatever.
But you've seen the videos that I've been sending about puppies and how it has that voice that talks like this.
Yeah, but that's supposed
that's
to
all
be
AI.
Anyway, so I made that entire bit, like that whole quote unquote show that you just heard, using ChatGPT. So the original prompt was write a 30-minute podcast. Oh, by the way, I guess we should introduce like what we're talking about, because we didn't actually mention that.
If you haven't figured it out yet, we're talking about AI or artificial intelligence.
We are talking about AI. Oh, by the way, I started A Minute of Your Life back up this week with an AI cryptid called Loeb. So that is on the website and ourofyourlife.com. It's also on our TikTok, and I think that's it. I might have put it on Instagram and Facebook. I'm not sure. But anyway, so I made that whole thing using ChatGPT. The original prompt was write a 30-minute podcast episode for two people. Oh, that's all I told it to do. Now, I did have to make some modifications to the original script, like the news article and the name of the book and the TV show. All fake. Like, I mean, there might be a book called, what's it called? Eternity? Whispers of Eternity. But I don't know who it's, I don't know anything about it. That's something that ChatGPT made up. And they also made up the Kaleidoscope Chronicles, which does kind of sound like a show that I would watch.
Yeah, it really does.
But the rest of it, well, even also that, fake. Completely fake.
Completely fake.
Everything came from AI.
So as we put this show together, Kim kind of focused on the origins and the history and stuff like that, where it comes from. And of course, I get into the
weirdness.
The weirdness so and the dangers.
Backwards. Yeah. Also, I would like public recognition for actually contributing to the show this week. Like, normally Steve does all the research, but I wrote question mark. Excuse you.
Didn't mean that one. Sorry. Still getting used to the buttons after yeah, right. all these this time off.
I wrote question mark that entire opening thing, and I did some research, but I mean, he still did the bulk of it, but even still. Okay, so I thought we would start out with Alan Turing, who
I've heard that name.
And I know, and I have too, and I think it was because we recently watched A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah.
And wasn't that him?
He's one of those really super smart guys.
Crazy yeah. smart. I don't remember if that was Alan Turing, or like that it was about the Russell Crowe character, or if Alan Turing was a guy that he hung out with. But anyway, he was a young British polymath, and I don't know what a polymath is, but if you
that
break
means
it
like
down.
Multiple math?
Multiple math. That's what I'm thinking. So somebody that I would not get along with. But anyway, he explored the mathematical possibility of artificial intelligence. He suggested that humans use available information as well as reason in order to solve problems and make decisions. So why can't machines do the same thing? Mm. I mean, input out or you put something in, you get something out. Humans, same as computers. I'm going to take away your buttons again. This is what happened the last time that you got your buttons.
I'm excited
first
tonight.
First thing. Anyway, I am too. Side note, like we're going to deviate from just a second. We just got back from the vet with Rupert, who has been having some mobility issues. And the vet is putting him on like a drug that's brand new in America that she's very hopeful is going to fix his back legs, which means that he will be like a brand new dog.
So. Well, it turned out really good news.
It was a great visit.
We were thinking hip dysplasia, which there really wasn't a lot they can do with that. But she said she thinks it's a pinched nerve or an issue in his back.
Arthritis.
And that can be fixed.
Yeah. Also, I'm sorry for interrupting myself, but we didn't get to do our normal, like, hey, what's going on in the day to day. So anyway, back to Alan Turing. Before 1949, computers lacked a key prerequisite for intelligence. They couldn't store commands. They could only execute them. So in other words, they could be told what to do, but they couldn't remember what they did. And then it was also extremely expensive. So I didn't even realize that computers were around in the 40s, but they were. I'm sure you've seen the pictures of them. It's like this big room full of like buttons and boxes and beep, beep, boops.
That's where they got the term bug from, because a moth could actually fly in there.
Really?
Yeah. And it would like short circuit it out. And it was
interesting.
A bug. And that's where
they did not know that. From. But it was really expensive. In the early 1950s, the cost of leasing a computer ran up to, and this is in 50s money. I didn't bother to do the thing, but $200,000 a month to lease a computer.
Hang on 1 second.
You going to math it out?
Nope. I'm going to use AI to do this.
Ooh, okay.
So here, I'm going to ask it right now.
Okay.
What was $200,000 in 1950? What is that worth in today's money?
What app are you using?
Just a second. To calculate the value of $200,000 in 1950 in today's money, we need to adjust for inflation. The inflation rate varies over time.
Oh my gosh.
So we use an average inflation rate of for the United States. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average inflation rate from 1950 to 2021 is approximately 3.61%. Using this inflation rate, we can calculate the equivalent value in today's money. First, we need to blah, blah,
oh
blah.
Oh my gosh. Let's just get who down. Who cares?
Let me just get down to the end of it.
This is why I use the website that's just like you type in a number okay. And it gives you a number.
Okay. Well, it's like you have to show your work. Okay. So let's calculate it. The equivalent value of $200,000 in 1950 in today's money, accounting for average inflation, would be approximately $2,119,891.
For real?
Yeah. That figured that out. Like that.
Yeah, and it gave you all this other back. It's like those recipes that you have to like hit jump to recipes so you like don't read the backstory of them.
Back in algebra, you had to show your work.
Well, here in An Hour of Your Life land, you don't have to show your work, but thank you. Okay. That's way more than I thought it was going to be. That's per month. $2 million per month.
Actually, Kim, I calculated all that in my head.
You're a lying liar. All right, so anyway, so back in the 50s, it was crazy expensive to even lease a computer, and they were kind of dumb.
Well, they weren't.
I mean.
Okay. 5 years later, the proof of concept was initialized through Alan Newell, Cliff Shaw, and Herbert Simon's logic theorist. The logic theorist was a program designed to mimic the problem-solving skills of a human and was funded by Research and Development, RAND Corporation. It is considered by many to be the first artificial intelligence program. From 1957 to 1974, AI flourished. Computers could store more information, become faster and cheaper and more accessible. Machine learning algorithms also improved, and people got better at knowing which algorithm to apply to their problem. That's going to be important later on.
Yeah, and I also want to mention, remember what AI stands for, because I think the interpretation of the term AI has changed a lot over the years. Like AI is actually, artificial intelligence is a much more, and we'll get into this later, much more comprehensive term than what I think most people think of when you think of AI.
I think a lot of people think it's like some organic things and bloop, 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 you know, like a brain or something like that
going on.
Well,
yeah, but
and it's not. It's computers.
Yeah.
All it is is computers.
Yeah. But I mean, I think most people, at least for me, when I think of AI, I think of like bigger scale, like visual. A lot of times I think of AI as like a visual thing. Like, you know, you see AI art or whatever, and we'll get into it, but it's much more than just that.
We'll get into that. But basically it's a computer program.
Yep.
A very sophisticated computer program. But in the 80s, AI continued to develop, and the Japanese government heavily funded expert systems and other AI-related endeavors as part of their fifth-generation computer project, or as they called it, FGCP. But I bet they said it in Japanese.
Probably.
From 1982 to 1990, they invested $400 million with goals of revolutionizing computer processing, implementing logic programming, and improving artificial intelligence.
Now, one of the earliest, like, AI publicly, like, whoa, kind of thing. 1997, reigning world chess champion and grandmaster Garry Kasparov was defeated by IBM's Deep Blue, which was a chess playing computer program.
Go ahead.
Why? That wasn't a joke.
I thought it was funny, but go ahead.
I'm pretty sure too. I don't know if you will remember, but back in...
You know, like, good and well, he went into that thing, and I'm going to kick this machine's butt.
Oh, 100%, and then he lost hardcore. But back I don't know. I want to say maybe 15, 20 years ago. Maybe it was even longer than that. I'm not sure. They had a computer on Jeopardy playing against somebody. Do you remember that at all? I want to say that it was Deep Blue, that they had Deep Blue on Jeopardy too, playing against the current champion or like whoever was the current reigning champion. I'll have to look into that. I just thought of that or I would have researched it. Anyway, in the same year, 1997, speech recognition software, which was developed by Dragon Systems, was implemented in Windows. So not all AI is bad.
Can I interrupt real quick?
Of course.
I just read where Windows is redesigning their keyboard after 30 years to include an AI button. And I really didn't get time to read into it.
Interesting.
But it's supposed to revolutionize computing. But they're adding a new button on there, just like your control or something like that. An AI button.
I wonder, I'm curious what that'll do for like the visually or hearing impaired.
I don't know.
Anyway, even human emotion was fair game, as evidenced by Kismet, a robot developed by Cynthia Brazil. I don't know if I'm saying her name right, but that could recognize and display emotions. So like I said earlier today, AI is everywhere. So if you think about what it actually is, artificial intelligence, also sorry if you can hear the dog, somebody's walking by, they're going insane. So like the bots, when you make a phone call and the bots that ask you push one for this or push two for that, that's artificial intelligence. Facial recognition software.
Hey, Alexa.
Artificial. She's actually hooked up. So
she just turned blue.
Facial recognition software.
Hey, Siri.
Predictive text is like you use it all the time on your cell phone.
Okay. So this just clued me in on something. Couple months ago, I was hungry and I was coming through town, through Xenia, Ohio, and I stopped at one of the fast food places. I was going to get something really fast to go. Mm-hmm. And I pulled up to the window, or not the window, but the, where you order, mm-hmm. you place your order, and it was AI. And I absolutely hated it. I ended up having to drive away because...
I've never seen that, really.
Yeah, because... If you had, it was good if you just said, I would like a number one, or I want this or this. But if you had to ask it a question, it couldn't answer the question for you.
And if you say no, that's fine. But do you feel comfortable sharing the name?
No, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I think they took it away.
Okay. I'm just curious because I never.
I actually complained, so I'm sure.
So it's all because of you.
It hit the corporate and they took it away.
The only reason I ask is because I have not personally experienced that, nor have I heard news about that. So that's really interesting.
It was not a good experience.
Huh. So I wonder if that corporation will maybe tweak a little bit.
Of course they did. Because I told them.
Oh my gosh.
Get off my lawn.
That's very bold of them. Really, yes. If you think about it, because how much, even when you have a human on the other end of those speakers, half the time you can't understand one another. So that's very bold to put a non-human.
And it wasn't fun. Remember, I'm not going to mention the restaurant, but we pulled into a certain fast food Mexican restaurant and we pulled up. And the guy answered, he goes, what was it? It was like,
Welcome to the border. Can I take your order or something like that?
And that was fun. And
was
we
fun.
Laughed.
Yeah.
Because it was very late and it put me in a really good mood.
We went to that restaurant again last night at like 10 o'clock at night.
Yep.
Anyway. So, all the little minor things that we don't even think of as AI that actually are AI. And that's not even talking about the stuff like the script that ChatGPT wrote.
Yeah.
Like big AI stuff that you do think about.
Okay. Well, we're about to get into some of that stuff right now.
Okay.
Because while we were on hiatus, I put a couple stories in the bag and AI was one of them. I think Lake Erie was one of them. We put a couple stories in the bag. As you saw, I can find all the others I prepped, but you know what? I couldn't find the AI story. That's why Kim got involved last night and started putting this together.
That's where you need your do-do-do-do-do-do-do button. Yep. Maybe somewhere
AI knew.
It didn't like what it said and it like wanted to rewrite.
So I experimented writing a podcast similar to what Kim did using AI research to write the story. I told it to write me a podcast on Yellowstone National Park. Now, in the one I had prepped, I actually had that and we're going to do like that. I was going to read that, but no need to know. So It took about a second. It did exactly that. But it wasn't near the hour of material that I asked for. So I kept playing and I experimented. I asked the AI to tell me about Teddy Roosevelt and his part in Yellowstone. Poof, I had it, just like that.
Yeah.
Then I asked about fishing in Yellowstone. Poof, I had it, just like that. What I learned was that even with a basic app like ChatGPT or Chatbox AI, while I couldn't get them to write an entire hour, I could piece together several inquiries and develop an entire podcast in just minutes. No research, just an idea, cut and paste. Now, what fun is that?
Yeah, I mean, I can see two things. So first of all, I'm really curious. I don't know if you can tell. Steve got this big fancy, stole my big fancy monitor.
30 inches curved.
It's huge. And he has those new programs he was talking about last week. But I don't know if you can tell. Do you know how long that fake podcast was? Can you look at your stuff right there and tell me?
No. Like I said, because I couldn't find it.
No, the one that we did, like at the beginning of the show. Can you tell me?
It was about 4 or 5 minutes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I asked it to write me a 30-minute podcast.
Yeah.
So now I will say that I asked it to write me a 30-minute podcast, but some of the things were like person one talks about the book they're reading, and that was like what it was. And so I had to go back in too. So I completely see and agree with what you're saying as far as you tell it to write you an hour podcast and it doesn't. Tell it to write a 30-minute podcast and it gives you 5 minutes, but
you can piece it together.
You can piece it together. But when you say, what fun is it? I am going to push back a little bit on that one because you have to think about it.
Oh, I'm going to give you some fun here in a second.
You have to think about it. Like you knew that you weren't going to get your hour. So then you had to think about, okay, what else do I know about Yellowstone that I can plug in?
But it's not like me having to research it.
It is not like you having to do research, but you still do have, there is still some human thought behind it and reasoning.
There's a little bit of human
like
thought.
You do have to kind of think about like, oh, what else can I add to this? What else can I enter into it?
You want to have some fun?
Sure.
Okay. So we're going to use AI right now, and I'm going to ask you to give me a song topic, and I'm going to play the lyrics. So I'm just going to push that button right there and speak into it and tell me, you know, just give it a topic.
Okay. So in our office, we have like a little shrine thing set up. Like we have An Hour of Your Life, Heinz Ketchup from that episode, and like a picture of Harambe, rest in peace. And we have Steve's lunchbox, Mickey Mouse Club lunchbox from when he was a kid. So in honor of your lunchbox. Oh, hold on. Write a pop song about a lost lunchbox.
Push play.
Oh, I have to send it. Okay, sorry. Do you want me to read it or do you want to read it?
Go ahead and read what it came up
with. It's writing. Typing.
Fast.
Okay, so verse one. I had a lunchbox, my favorite one, filled with goodies, so much fun. But one day it disappeared, lost in a world so unclear. Pre-chorus. I searched high and low everywhere I could, hoping to find it just like I should. But it's gone, lost in the crowd. I'm feeling so lost, I'm crying out loud. Chorus. Lost my lunchbox. Where did it go? Oh, how I miss it. I need to know. Every day I wonder, where could it be? Lost in the world. Lost without a key? Lame. Verse 2. I remember the sandwiches made with love, the sweet treats sent from above, but now they're gone, nowhere to be found. Lost in a world where lost things abound. That's actually a pretty good verse. Bridge. I'll keep searching. I won't give up. I'll find my lunchbox. I'll never stop. Through the rain and the stormy weather, I'll bring it back. We'll be together. And then the chorus again. Lost my lunchbox. Where did it go? Oh, how I miss it. I need to know. Every day I wonder, where could it be? Lost in the world. Lost without a key. Verse 3. I won't lose hope. I'll keep the faith. I'll find my lunchbox, no matter the pace. In every corner, I'll leave no stone unturned until my lunchbox is finally returned. And then the outro. Lost my lunchbox, but not my hope. I feel like that should be a life motto. Lost my lunchbox, but not my hope. I'll find it someday. I know I'll cope. Until then, I'll keep the memories close. Lost but not forgotten. And that's what matters most. That's something.
Okay. Do you think that song could be a hit?
No. I don't, but there was some good...
Okay, but the example is, look how fast that came up.
I kind of want to send it to Brandon and say, here.
Okay.
Give this to one of your pop music friends.
I'm going to do one more.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to record what I want it to sing or make the
lyrics.
I
wonder if it matters the genre. Like, I told it to do a pop song. I wonder if it matters.
I don't know. I'm just going to ask it.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Okay. Write me a song about a mean foreman supervising a labor crew, and all he wants to see is buttholes and elbows.
Ooh, that's not the right word, but okay.
Okay. Here it goes. I apologize, but I'm unable to generate that story for you.
Why?
I don't know.
It doesn't give you a reason?
No, I'm going to try it again.
Ooh.
Okay, because I think... Okay, hang on. Write me lyrics about a foreman supervising a labor crew, and all he wants to see is buttholes and elbows.
Is your AI a prude? Like, it doesn't like the word butthole?
Oh, I know what I did, though.
What'd you do? Yeah.
I said, write me a song. I need to say, write me lyrics.
Oh.
Okay, so here it goes. In a dusty construction... Pay attention. It's not really the words. It's how fast it can put it together.
Yeah.
Okay. In a dusty construction site under the sun's bright glow, there's a foreman with a whistle and a commanding flow. It keeps writing. I have to keep scrolling down here.
Yeah, that's why I waited a second because it's writing in real time.
Give me a second here.
Okay. It's writing really fast, though. It does come up with this stuff like...
Yeah.
Snap. Okay,
it's on verse 3 already.
Yeah.
Okay, chorus. Da-da-da-da-da. Keep going. Here it goes.
What's the chorus?
I don't know because it keeps scrolling up as I write.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So here we go. Oh, it's a long song. Verse 1. In a dusty construction site under the sun's bright glow, there's a foreman with a whistle and a commanding flow. He's the boss overseeing the labor crew, but there's one thing on his mind, and it's quite true. Chorus. All he wants to see is buttholes and elbows, working hard, getting the job done. That's how it goes. He's got no time for idle chatter or wasted breath, just buttholes and elbows. That's his only request.
Okay, don't take a drink while Steve's reading the lyrics.
He's a quiet, watchful eye, always on the lookout for workers slacking off or taking a route. He cracks the whip. He keeps them on their toes, pushing them to move. No time for repose. Chorus.
Ooh.
I'm going to skip the chorus since we already did it. But deep down, he knows it's not just about the grind. It's about the team, the camaraderie that they find. He pushes them hard, but he's got their back. Together they build, leaving no room for slack.
I've never heard camaraderie in a song. Let me just say that.
Verse 3. Through sweat and toil, they work as a unit, each one giving their all. No one is a nuisance. The foreman's tough love. It's all for a reason, to create something great, a labor of passion and vision. That didn't rhyme.
This song sucks.
Course. Outro. So if you see a foreman with a stern gaze, remember, it's not just about the work days. It's about the dedication, the pride that they show, buttholes and elbows, the way they make things flow. Okay. So
I've had things flowing out of my butthole before.
I mean, I could have paused and waited for it to catch up, but we intentionally did that to show you how fast AI can come up with this crap.
I will not make any comments about quality, but...
Yep.
But yeah, it's fast for sure.
So I kind of feel like there's a lot of songs I'm hearing lately that are AI generated. Now, without mentioning a specific artist name, you know who I'm talking about.
Steve has a theory.
Okay, so... What do you think about that?
So
what do you think about the ethics of that?
I actually... I at one point, so there is one specific artist that he has in mind that I disagree with. However,
I'm not.
However, from a financial standpoint, it makes sense. Like, if you can get AI that's better than whatever that was, because the AI knows, you know, it can access Google. It can access.
We're going to talk about social engineering.
Yeah. Yeah. It socially engineers songs that are people want to hear and they're going to want to stream and want to listen to and make you
song,
money.
And it knows what song would be popular
right.
with a certain audience. Yeah,
exactly. It's a genius way of making money.
Well, do you think this, you know what? I know you don't think this person is doing it. I think they are.
I don't think they are.
Anyway, so we went through all that to start talking about the ethics. So I think AI can be a powerful tool when used for good.
Like we talked about the...
Yeah. But with this show, with this episode, you know what? I think we're going to have to do another episode on the good of AI. Because I think with this one, we kind of focused on... The negative and how it can rule the world and stuff like that.
I personally, just off the top of my head, I'm sure there are good uses for it.
Like, and there are. But I kind of tend to focus on
it. It seems like there's probably more negative at this point until it's regulated or whatever, which we'll also get into.
Yeah. I don't know, but we'll find out.
Okay.
But I can see all sorts of ethical and downright deceptive and we'll say immoral uses of AI. I also see a whole new batch of some pretty good conspiracy theories coming out of AI.
Like what?
Well, let me tell you like what. Oh, maybe like a politician using AI to make a fake commercial with a rival saying things they never said, or even generate a fake leaked conversation that would be detrimental to the opponent. Maybe making like racist slurs or lewd comments or something like that. The technology is there, and it's not just with audio. It can be done with video. Remember just a few months ago, scammers were using AI-generated voices to mimic loved ones with fake kidnappings and trying to collect money. Now, according to CBS and the Federal Trade Commission, Americans have been scammed out of nearly $9 billion to fraud just last year. That's up over 150% in just 2 years. Peter Nicoletti, who's a cybersecurity expert, says that common software can learn and recreate a human voice in about 10 minutes.
Whoa.
He recommends that families develop a code word system and, if possible, call back to verify if the call is legitimate. He also recommends setting your social media accounts to private. And here's why. And, you know, we talk about this and about some other things, but here's why this is important. Key information could be obtained and be easily used against individuals. Unfortunately, a lot of bots generate posts that look innocent and fun to share with friends. You know, you've seen a post like, what is your nickname in high school? What was your pet's first name? What street did you grow up on? All that stuff can be collected.
And those look an awful lot like security questions used to verify accounts if you lose a password.
Exactly.
Now, it is a shame that we live in a world where this happens. It's like different generations have their own thing. Like during the 60s, you had nuke drills in schools and kids had tornado drills and fire drills. And now you have active shooter drills. And I feel like each generation has to be more and more aware of the threats. And
more threats are coming.
And I'm not really that paranoid. But like you say, just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean they're not after me.
Bingo. You got it.
So.
Okay. So here's some of the dangers. Lack of transparency and explainability. Now, by this, we mean AI and deep learning models can be difficult to understand, even for those that work directly with the technology. This is some complicated stuff that's going on right here.
Mm.
Okay, this leads to a lack of transparency for how and why AI comes to its conclusions, creating really a lack of explanation of what or for what AI algorithms use, or why they may make biased or unsafe decisions. These concerns have given rise to the use of explainable AI, but there's still a long way before transparent AI systems become common practice. Another issue that we're going to see with AI, and it's happening already, AI-powered automation is pressing concern as the technology adopted in industries like marketing, manufacturing, and healthcare. By 2030, these tasks that account for up to 30% of hours currently being worked in the U.S. economy will be automated.
I'm really curious, like when you say healthcare, I work in the healthcare industry.
Mm-hmm.
What do you Like, do you have an idea of like what healthcare, like what do you mean?
Yeah, they're using AI for things like brain surgery, heart surgery, to like put in the symptoms and what's going on and coming up with diagnosis and how to go through and perform an operation or perform a procedure.
Interesting.
Yeah,
because
it is.
Like I don't see, well, actually I do see, so I, as part of my job, I have to submit clinicals.
Dean, you have a job other than this?
I know, right? I have to submit clinicals. So basically like the notes that your doctor takes during your visit, I have to submit those to the insurance companies. And a lot of times I do see this, like at the bottom of the clinical, it'll say transcribed with such and such software. So like it's not, the doctor is not actually like sitting down and typing this stuff. They're speaking it and it's being transcribed.
Have you noticed on Amazon, before you get into like the reviews, it gives you a generic overall description of the product and it says this was generated by AI.
So I have not noticed that.
So it's taking all the reviews and it's summing them up in about a paragraph.
Interesting.
And I saw that the other day.
I have not noticed that, but that's interesting.
Yeah, but Goldman Sachs is saying that
what was that
300 million full-time jobs could be lost to AI automation.
Wow.
As AI robots become smarter and more dexterous, the same task will require fewer humans. And while AI is estimated to create 97 million new jobs by 2025, many employees won't have the skills needed for these technical roles and could get left behind if companies don't upskill. So this is a good reason for like school and technology people to get into these type of trades.
Yes, but it's also really hard because I feel like we right now have like AI is kind of the in vogue thing. And I kind of feel like the technology is progressing faster than we can train.
Oh, yeah. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems.
So I hate to do this, but I'm going to pick on TikTok for a second.
Ooh.
I know. I love TikTok. We have a TikTok.
And we've discussed this many times.
Yeah.
Kim's starting to finally see the light.
Well, this through my love of media literacy. Anyway, social manipulation through AI algorithms. This one is really kind of disturbing. It stands as a danger of artificial intelligence. It's become a reality, kind of like, as you said, politicians rely on platforms to promote their viewpoints, with one example being Ferdinand Marcos Jr. wielding a TikTok troll army to capture the votes of younger Filipinos during the Philippines 2022 election. I think he's a mayor or senator or something. Somebody down in Florida got elected by running his campaign completely on social media. Like didn't do any speaking, like nothing, no commercials, no nothing, just social media presence. TikTok is just one example of a social media platform that relies on AI algorithms, fills a user's feed with content related to previous media you viewed on the platform. So you're telling on yourself when you say, why do all I see is teddy bear videos? Well, that's because in the past, that's all the content that you've consumed.
Well, I love when we go down to Florida and I visit my nephew, I love to catch his phone and I'll put in Google.
Depends.
And then for a while, he just gets bombarded with Depends ads.
Yeah. Now, criticism of TikTok in particular targets this process and the algorithm's failure to filter out harmful and inaccurate content, raising concerns over TikTok's ability to protect its users from misleading information. Although, I do want to put a caveat in there. It is not just TikTok. Meta does this too.
Yeah. Yep.
Just TikTok.
It's all social media.
It is all social media. The reason I think that TikTok is getting so much bad press is because their parent company was based in China. Now, TikTok is not based in China. All of their stuff is in U.S. soil. There's a lot of misinformation about that. But I suspect...
You learned that on TikTok?
No, I learned that from reading the news. I suspect that's
AI
where a lot of...
news.
Right. I suspect that that's why TikTok gets the pushback and Meta doesn't, even though they do the same exact thing. They use the same exact, well, maybe not same exact formulas, but they do this. It's the same basic idea of using formulas to generate content.
So, I've heard the argument, you know what? I really don't care if they know that I like to buy this, because then I just get ads for this and ads for that.
Yeah, I say that.
But, well, I didn't want to say that.
That's okay. I'll admit it.
But the real danger with this is when they collect all that data about how people feel and stuff like that. I mean, just look at the last presidential election, whether and this isn't political, whether you voted for Trump or you voted for Biden. Look how much discourse has come about because of how the social media is manipulated through the bots, whether it was Russia, whether it was China, whether it was North Korea, or whether it was Soros or whoever they accuse of doing it. Just look how the turmoil it put our country in because of just the accusations of this. It's really scary stuff that's out there.
Yeah.
Online media and news have become even murkier in light of AI-generated images and videos. Now, when I say online, so used to is ABC, CBS, and NBC got the news. Now you get news, you know, just look at the URL, and there's just so many different people that are claiming that they're news companies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That publish news. And
yeah, there's one in particular that I'm thinking of that can tell you. Well, actually, I think their new quote-unquote news branch is now disbanded, but like they can tell you what kind of a taco you would be or like things like that. Yeah.
But they're trying to take, you know, they'll take their own personal, like say political leaning and do stuff like that. But look, AI voice changers, as well as what deep fakes infiltrating political and social spheres. These technologies make it easy to create a realistic photo, videos or audio clips and replace the image with one of another in an existing picture or audio. As a result, bad actors have another avenue for sharing misinformation and war propaganda, creating a nightmare scenario where it can be nearly impossible to distinguish between credible and faulty news.
Yeah, and I hate the term deepfake because
it's real.
It sounds so like way crazy town.
But it's not.
Like you showed me, and I think we'll get into this in a little bit, but last night you were just kind of messing around with different things and you showed me exactly examples of this, of like photos and stuff of people that they're not real, but they look incredibly real.
Yeah. No one knows what's real or what's not. Ever since the Lion, and I brought this up a bunch of times.
You talk about this all the time.
The Lion King, when I saw that little cub.
There's a scene in the Lion King. And if you guys know, please write to us at alosthour@gmail.com or just drop us a line on the website. In the live action Lion King, there is a shot of a beetle
that is it real?
Transitions. It acts as like a transition mode where it's like crawling along in one scene and then like you close up on the beetle and it's crawling and it goes to another scene.
Is it real?
I still don't know.
Yeah, well, I saw that lion cub.
I have no idea.
I saw that lion cub talk and it looked real.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the danger. It's fooling people like me. So I mean, you can't rely on what you see with your own eyes or ears. It can be so misleading. You can't rely on what historically we've considered to be the best possible evidence, and that's going to be a huge issue with all sorts of things coming up. I mean, I'm kind of worried about our next election.
I mean, also, AI can adversely affect privacy and security. So, for example, China has used official recognition technology in offices, schools, and other venues. So besides tracking a person's movements, the Chinese government may be able to gather enough data to monitor a person's activities, relationships, and political views.
It's TikTok.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah. And right now
we're not getting into this again.
So right now we're talking about social surveillance with the AI technology.
Yeah, we're not getting into the TikTok argument again because I don't think that people are, whatever.
You'll lose.
Moving on. They say that authoritarian regimes are using it. No, we don't have time for this. Authoritarian regimes are either using this AI surveillance technology or they're going to use it. And then the question is, how much does it invade Western countries, democracies? What constraints do we put on it? And that's where we really need to, what constraints?
We'll get to that. Okay. So let's move on to the loss of human influence. And if you notice, a lot of this stuff is social stuff, and it's not necessarily...
Yeah.
Okay. So an over-reliance on AI technology could result in the loss of human influence and a lack of human functioning. In some parts of society, using AI in healthcare could result in a reduced human empathy and reasoning, for example, like, you know, bedside manner. And applying generative AI for creative endeavors could diminish human creativity and emotional expression. Interacting with AI systems too much could even cause reduced peer communication and social skills. And I think we see that with already. I know I see that with my day job. So while AI can be very helpful for automating daily tasks, some questions... it might hold back on overall human intelligence, abilities, and need for community.
Which kind of brings us to our next point, the uncontrollable self-aware AI, which sounds like scary sci-fi, but like we said earlier, there is a serious concern that AI is going to progress in intelligence so rapidly that it either will become sentient and act beyond human control, possibly in a malicious manner, or it just is progressing so quickly that we can't keep up with it and, like, we can't shut it down then.
Wait a minute. You used a big word, sentient.
Sentient means it's thinking. What's that mean? It's thinking for itself. The AI is thinking for itself.
Gotcha.
We lost control.
I knew that. I just seen a few did.
Yes, I know. Alleged reports of this have already been occurring, with one popular account being from a former Google engineer who stated the AI chatbot Lambda was sentient and speaking to him just as a person would, which is absolutely terrifying. As AI's next big milestones involve making systems with artificial general intelligence and eventually artificial super intelligence.
I'm already lost.
That does not even need to be a concept. Artificial intelligence is fine. We don't need artificial super. We don't even have human super intelligence. At some stages, we don't even have human intelligence. So, no.
Einstein, Stephen Hawking.
Okay. Anyway, okay, but Stephen Hawking is in a whole other load of trouble right now. But anyway,
isn't he dead? He can't be in a lot of trouble.
No, but his name is being slightly besmirched.
Yeah. So, it's going to happen.
I mean,
should we even talk about pornography and child pornography and human trafficking?
So the things that they're doing, you can create AI generated porn, which we kind of got into it a little, not into it. Like, we didn't have a fight or anything, but we discussed this last night.
It wasn't even close to a fight.
But we discussed it. When I say got into it, like, that can mean different things to different people. So we kind of discussed it last night, the ethics of AI generated pornography, or specifically de-aging celebrities and turning those images into child pornography of the celebrity. So my devil's advocate question was, if the celebrity or photo, like whoever in the model in the photo, understands that that is what their picture is going to be used for, like if there is a company that caters directly to weirdos, and does that, like, de-ages people specifically to sell to that. If you are on board with that, like, you know that that's what it's going to be used for, a dollar's a dollar. But you push back and kind of said,
what is the problem with that? It's almost like legalization of prostitution. This is not a victimless crime.
Right. And you also pushed back and said that perverts are recycling explicit images of children and pulling your kids' pictures off of social media and turning them into brand new child porn. And also their AI comes from somewhere. So like that image comes from somewhere. It's not just created. They're using
images of child porn and possibly taking your kid's picture that you innocently posted on Facebook and putting it on this, and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. Yeah. So, folks, please limit your social media to friends only, especially if you post lots of pictures of your kids.
Yeah.
I've heard some people argue that AI-generated porn is not real. It's not a real person, so how can it be illegal? It's pretty easy. Most of the images we're talking about are images of real people. They've just been manipulated through AI, put a different face on it, whatever. It's been a real kid out there that they're doing this with. It's bad. It's evil.
Yeah, agreed. And it's not even just images. Like, predators are using AI-generated text generated messages to lure children by presenting as children. So like they'll say, write a message from one 13-year-old girl to another.
And it's
and actually, then it'll sound like a 13-year-old girl.
50-year-old pervert guy doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's just not support exploiting children and supporting human trafficking. And maybe we should do an episode on human trafficking.
I think we will.
At some point. I know what our next episode is going to be, but it might not.
Two or three episodes to get through that one.
Yeah. But just don't, I just feel like we're only touching the surface of AI. And like you said, we're not going to have time to touch on the positive uses, although I'm sure they are out there.
Maybe that's what next week's episode should be.
No, we are. Remember, we're doing next week's episode on something timely.
Okay.
And the
this
release
is timely. Go ahead.
Well, more that, timely.
Okay. That counts as an argument for us.
What does? Oh, this, what we just did?
Yeah. Okay. Go on.
Okay, anyway, it looks to me like there's a lot of components on the impact of AI. There's a physical impact, like jobs, like hard things that you can see and measure. And then there's also the social aspect that's a little bit harder to quantify.
Yeah, but because we only have an hour, we can only touch on this episode, the dangers.
Right.
And the ethics.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we didn't even touch on how racial bias can either be inadvertently introduced or intentionally brought into play.
Ooh, yeah.
We haven't even touched on the military impact with, say, autonomous weapons or anything like that.
That sounds terrifying.
And where do we stand on regulations and what is coming up in regard to laws?
Well, thanks to your research, I have the answer to that question. Governments and industry are trying to keep up with developments in artificial intelligence, but they've mostly fallen short.
Duh.
Regulators around the world are taking very different approaches to policing the technology. So what is happening is a highly fragmented and confusing global regulatory landscape for a borderless technology that promises to transform job markets, contribute to the spread of disinformation, or even present a risk to humanity. And the big players that are regulating AI are, first, Europe's risk-based law, which is the European Union's AI Act. It assigns regulations proportionate to the level of risk posed by an AI tool. So the idea is to kind of create a sliding scale of regulations. That way, the heaviest restrictions are on the riskiest systems. So in other words, it's similar to our rating system with like our television rating system of TV 14, G, et cetera, et cetera. So the AI tools would be categorized based on four designations, which are unacceptable, high, limited, and minimal risk. So like the unacceptable risks include AI systems that perform social scoring of individuals or real-time facial recognition in public places, and those would be banned. The other tools carrying less risks, like software that generates manipulated videos and quote unquote deepfake images, have to disclose that people are seeing AI generated content. And if you violate that, you could be fined 6% of your global sales. That could be a lot. Minimally risky.
How did they come up with 6%?
That is a weird number. I don't know. Minimally risky systems include like spam filters, AI generated video games, which is a whole other thing. Like the ethics of AI art. That's a genre of art. Anyway.
Yeah. Like that.
I'm getting
like
off
that
topic.
Artist we were talking about earlier, but go ahead.
In the United States, the Biden administration has given companies leeway to voluntarily police themselves for safety and security risks, which how could that ever possibly go wrong? In July, the White House announced that several AI makers, including Amazon, Anthropic, Google, Inflection, Meta, Microsoft, and OpenAI, had agreed to self-regulate their systems. The voluntary commitments included third-party security testing of tools, which is also known as red teaming, research on bias and privacy concerns, information sharing about risks with governments and other organizations, and development of tools to fight societal challenges like climate change, while including transparency measures to identify AI-generated material. So guess what? Those companies were already doing that.
Is this like the fox guarding the hen house?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. The U.S.-based tech law, no surprise, any regulation of AI will have to come from Congress. The Senate has promised a comprehensive bill for AI, possibly by next year.
We don't have a budget yet for this year.
But so far, U.S. lawmakers have introduced bills that are focused on the production and deployment of AI systems. The proposals include the creation of an agency like the Food and Drug Administration that could create regulations for AI providers, approve licenses for new systems, establish standards. Sam Altman, who's the CEO of OpenAI, has supported the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Google, however, has proposed that the National Institute of Standards and Technology, founded more than 100 years ago, with no regulatory powers, serves as the hub of the government oversight.
Are companies looking out for their own best interest? Are there any agendas going on here?
Surely not. Now,
Surely not.
Other bills are focused on copyright violations, which I think is the big, I think that's going to be the big gotcha for a lot of these things, by AI systems that gobble up intellectual property to create their systems.
New York Times is suing somebody right now because of that.
Well, and it kind of goes back to the child porn of celebrities thing that you were talking about, because those images are copyrighted by somebody, the original image that they.
Yeah.
So I think that's where a lot of these laws are going to come, is from copyright. Proposals on election security and limiting the use of deepfakes have also been put forward.
So the artist who shall remain unnamed, will they have a leg to stand on if AI uses their music and style to claim royalties to their music if it's AI generated? Or, as I suspect, this artist who shall remain unnamed uses AI to generate their songs?
It's a mess. It's only going to get messier.
It's a mess.
So China, since 2021, has been working overtime since 2021 on recommendation algorithms, synthetic content like deepfakes, generative AI. The rules ban price discrimination by recommendation algorithms on social media, for instance. AI makers have to label synthetic AI generated content. They are drafting rules for generative AI, like OpenAI's chatbot that requires training data and the content the technology creates to be true and accurate, which basically is an attempt at censoring what the systems say. And many experts have said that effective AI regulation is going to need a global collaboration because we live in a global economy, I don't want to say there's no nations anymore, but the internet has made everything global. And so far, such diplomatic efforts have produced very few concrete results. One idea that has been floated is the creation of an international agency, kind of like the Atomic Energy Agency, that was created to limit the spread of nuclear weapons. But a challenge is going to be overcoming the geopolitical distrust, economic competition, and nationalistic impulses that have become so intertwined with the development of AI. It's almost like the space race, but like bad. Yeah. And also, AI is done by so many individuals. Like, okay, you can limit it on a global scale and on a national scale, but you can't from, you know, kid A in his mom's basement.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just go to Facebook and post the comment, "The sky is blue." Let the comments begin and the expert scientists all proclaim, well, actually.
Yeah. In my experience.
Yeah.
I'm a so-and-so, so I know. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So to summarize this episode, in my self-proclaimed expert opinion, AI is the Wild West. I don't see any AI company with the incentive to truly self-regulate. I don't see any politician or political body anywhere near smart enough to regulate or pass laws to keep AI in check. I'm not sure if anybody fully can comprehend the full potential of AI for good or evil, except maybe somewhere hidden away in a lab. Somewhere there's somebody like that. Remember that scientist in Independence Day when they took the president down there and he said, you know, to see the aliens. I think he said something like, "We don't get many visitors down here."
Correct.
Well, criminals and governments with bad intentions and unethical businesses will do everything they can to exploit AI for bad reasons. With the international community and the dark web, there is no way that it can be controlled. Congress can make all the laws and all the rules they want to, but it won't stop. And that goes for any governmental body. But it's not going to stop any bad guy or government, say in some Eastern European country or North Korea or anywhere using the dark web to exploit their agenda. I'm going to end this with, I asked one of the AI apps to generate a conspiracy theory. I was going to use that in this episode about the flat earth theorist. This going to end on a positive note. It wrote me back and it said it couldn't do that because it doesn't want to spread a false information. So there's a way around it. So I asked it to tell me, what are the biblical references to the flat earth theories? What are they? So I guess it all just depends on how you ask the questions.
Let's ask SIRI or ALEXA.
Yeah, we have to spell that just like kids are in here.
But I know, because
They're listening. They're always there.
They're listening.
All right, Kim. So people are getting their money's worth on this episode after being on hiatus. Yeah. So send us your comments. Send us what you think. Use your own opinion. Don't AI generate your stuff because this is the last time. You know what? I even hear that some preachers are using AI generated sermons.
It would not surprise me. Yeah.
So anyway, how do you get hold of us?
You can find us on all the things. So we have a TikTok, we have a Facebook, we have an Instagram, we have a website called anhourofyourlife.com. We have an email. It's alosthour@gmail.com. So we're everywhere. You can find us at An Hour of Your Life on all of those platforms.
Yeah. And just Google it or whatever platform you use. Google us. We are there.
Show up.
Yep. Anything else?
Nope. I think that's it.
All right. So from our studio in Sugar Creek Township.
Thanks for spending an hour of your life with us. Sources this week include Harvard University, Fox News, BuiltIn.com, and of course, ChatGPT.
No wiki?
Not this week, no.